Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet in the last hour of the show our new conventional affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing both Mark Dankos, America, and RBM into the mix in the American South in the days ahead. We've got a number of things to talk about today in the last hour of the show pertaining to the post today at the UK Guardian, in regard to this series of American generals who say that we have 6 months to get things together in Iraq, or we are going to go down the tube Vietnam style there. That's a very unpleasant, very ugly thought, obviously, because it portends a very uncertain future for an awful lot of people in this country and elsewhere. We've had a lot of tragedy, certainly, that has been introduced into this situation on all sides of the equation, and it's a little heartrending to think of the tragedy of the Vietnam conflict, and the fact that if you go to Washington, D.C. today and see the 58,000 names plus that are on that wall, that are the lives of Americans who were killed in Southeast Asia, that doesn't begin to touch the multitudes of additional Americans whose lives were changed forever by that conflict, either due to wounds or psychiatric disabilities or tragedies that befell family members and friends. It's a very wide swath that war in Southeast Asia a generation ago cut through American society. I don't think we've ever completely recovered from it. I know many people today that continue to be affected by it. And in a military community, San Antonio, Texas, those people in San Antonio that I talked to in the Army and Air Force predominantly in this town, who remember those days and in some cases were involved in it, have all kinds of reminiscences to share with me off the record and in private, that suggest that when they see the current headlines that are emanating from Iraq and some of the things that are now being said both internationally and domestically about this American and British military effort, there's a great deal of unease that maybe in at least one significant sense of the word, history is repeating itself, but in an even more dangerous fashion. For most of the people I talk to with military and political science expertise who remember Vietnam and who were involved in it, and who look at this present conflagration in the Middle East, tend to believe that the latter situation has even more potential for disaster than the former. We'll see how that stacks out in the days ahead. But as I go back again to this Guardian story today by Simon Tisdall entitled U.S. Commanders Admit We Face a Vietnam-Style Collapse, those comments today in the U.K. Guardian should not be seen in isolation from what Dr. Michael Schwartz was talking about yesterday on this show. Dr. Schwartz has written a number of articles on Mr. Bush's surge policy. Dr. Schwartz, I think, has given me as good an explanation as anyone that I have found in recent months in regard to exactly what is happening on the streets there in both Baghdad and in Al-Anbar province, as well as in these southern sectors where the British have been operating, as well as in the Kurdish problems that are involved not simply Iraq, but also Turkey and Iran. When we come back to this Guardian story, we'll continue chatting about it. We can also take your calls at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Mark Dankos, America, will be back live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
We're back. This is Mark Dancross, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news items today, particularly in the Middle East, and shortly I'm going to be taking another glance at some domestic political stories that involve this whole issue of the Constitution and constitutional rights and what law enforcement is and is not permitted to do constitutionally, and how that stacks up with some things that have been going on in the last 5 or 6 years in our country that relate to the so-called Patriot Acts and the Military Commissions Act of 2006, the National Security Agency spying situation, of course, that was reported in the national press in recent weeks and months. And it'll be fascinating to see how all of this plays out in regard not simply to Americans generally, but to a guy specifically whose wife is going to be on the show tomorrow. If you have never heard of Sami Al-Aryan, I would urge you to take a look at his case. He was a Palestinian, or is a Palestinian-American computer engineer who was convicted of helping Palestinian Islamic Jihad and was sentenced to 4 years in prison. He was a college professor here in the United States in Florida I believe that the name of the school is the University of South Florida. But at any rate, the interesting thing about that case is that he ended up being ultimately acquitted on these charges, as I understand it. Out of the charges that he was acquitted on, the jury then deadlocked on the remaining ones. But this took place all the way back in December of 2005. And the guy has not been convicted of anything, and yet, as I understand it, he continues to languish in prison. And I have done some preliminary research on his background as a prelude to a conversation that I'm going to be having tomorrow on the air with his wife. Nala or Nayla, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. I'll find out when I talk to her today. N-A-H-L-A, Nayla Al-Aryan, who is going to discuss this entire situation from her own perspective in regard to what she and her husband have been through and what she believes that it means in regard not simply to their political freedoms but to yours and to mine. That will be, I think, a very interesting show because Americans are divided on these topics, and quite clearly the American right is divided between those who seem to believe, in conjunction with George Bush, that the American law enforcement and intelligence communities and national security establishments should be able to do whatever they want to do to whomever they wish to do it at any time. That, of course, is not the historic position of the American right, either in regard to the Constitution or to the First Amendment or to the relationship between the federal government and the states or anything else. So those of us on the old American right who feel as much terror in many respects about these draconian measures as our counterparts do on the American left are going to be interested in this show tomorrow. That's with Nayla Al-Aryan, the wife of Sami Al-Aryan, who was in effect ultimately acquitted of a series of charges that he was involved in supporting Palestinian Islamic Jihad in this country. The jury deadlocked on 9 other charges against him. But the thing that is most significant, again, is that, as I understand it, this gentleman has been in prison since then. And what this means, not only for him, but for you and for me, is going to be something well worth our time to discuss tomorrow. That will take place right around 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And hopefully we'll continue to the end of the show. I don't know how much time Mrs. Al-Aryan is going to have. I hope I can keep her for 2 hours. We'll see if I manage to achieve that or not. But for whatever period of time she can spend, I really want to zero in on this case because it has implications, I think, for every living American in regard to our constitutional freedoms and heritage and where we go from here. You know, it seems to me as we look at some of these news items today that have related to the obvious quagmire that we're facing militarily in Iraq, as well as these clashes in Iranian West Azerbaijan between the Iranian government on the one hand and this Kurdish PJAK organization on the other, which has known ties internationally to the U.S. and to Britain and to the Turks and to the Israeli Mossad, it becomes quite apparent that unless God decides to intervene in this situation, that there's going to be a wider war in the Middle East, and that it's going to involve us, meaning the U.S. You can just about bet that if that happens, and we pray certainly that it does not for all concerned, but if it should happen, one can anticipate that the so-called Patriot Acts and the Military Commissions Act and the NSA surveillance and things of that ilk that we've become very familiar with in recent years, unfortunately, are likely to continue. And one can't suspect that in the right climate of fear that there would be further calls for legislation of this type coming out of the United States Congress, and that the American intelligence and national security boys would be really leaning on the American Congress, as the president would be as well, to produce what they want in regard to what some would argue effectively is a warrantless program of surveillance and arrest that could pertain to literally anyone in the country if for one reason or another they drew the ire of officialdom. So it's going to be an interesting show tomorrow. We'll see where it goes and where it leads. But keep an eye on that because I think it's going to be something, again, that's going to be well worth your time in regard to where we are headed. And I would certainly be among those who would say that we are headed in a direction that is certainly a very disturbing direction in regard to our lives, both in the present and in the future. Back then to this whole thing we were discussing from The Guardian today. This is a current post, brand new, Simon Tisdall's indication here that U.S. commanders admit that we are facing a Vietnam-style collapse in Iraq in the next 6 months unless something changes. This elite team of officers are advising General Petraeus, our new U.S. commander, and this is what they have conveyed to him. And as I had been reading specifically from this article at an earlier point in the show, I just wanted to summarize where we are with it at this point. These officers are combat veterans who are experts in counterinsurgency. They are charged with implementing the so-called New Way Forward strategy announced by the president on January the 10th. And in terms of this group of officers known as the Baghdad Brains Trust, they are in effect saying that the alternative to a great improvement in the situation in the next 6 months is Plan B in the autumn. And Plan B is going to be a flat withdrawal because it's going to be harder militarily. It's going to be harder, certainly in terms of domestic American political opinion, in what the numbers all indicate, the poll numbers suggest, is a real decline in enthusiasm in the country across the political spectrum for what's happening over there. And as we go back again to this conversation, the main obstacles that have been discussed in Tisdall's article today for The Guardian include insufficient troops on the ground, a disintegrating international coalition, an anticipated increase in violence in the South as the British leave, morale problems as casualties rise, and a failure of political will in Washington and or Baghdad. And again, reiterating something we were talking about earlier on the show, this team, this so-called Baghdad Brain Trust that is advising General Petraeus, is comprised of Colonel Peter Mansour, a former Armored Division commander with a Ph.D. in the history of infantry, Colonel H.R. McMaster, author of a well-known critique of Vietnam and a seasoned counterinsurgency operations chief, Lieutenant Colonel David Kilcullen, a seconded Australian officer and expert on Islamicism, and Colonel Michael Meese, the son of the former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, who is a member of the ill-fated Iraq Study Group. And again, as you read through this, the complaints that these gentlemen are making, I think, have pretty much been summarized in the 5 or 6 points that I just read. But as we go down the page, there is something that is absolutely significant here, I think, in this article that relates to what Dr. Michael Schwartz was talking about yesterday in analyzing the surge policy in Baghdad. And that is that we are going to find ourselves in more combat operations in this circumstance, and that these combat operations involve a series of contradictions that, in my judgment, will make this policy absolutely unsustainable. I just don't see, given what Dr. Michael Schwartz was speaking of yesterday, which has been reiterated today by Simon Tisdall in The Guardian, how in the world we are going to pull this off. Because on the one hand, to get back to the Tisdall piece in The Guardian, the advisors, these military advisors we just mentioned, are also said to be struggling to prevent the politicization of the surge by the Shia-dominated government. The fear is that any security advances may be exploited to further weaken the position of Baghdad's Sunni minority. So there you have the basic Shia-Sunni division that is self-evident to anyone who's even glanced at a newspaper on this subject in recent months and recent years. But then, despite progress this week on a new law sharing Iraq's oil wealth, Dr. Schwartz talked about that law yesterday, who profits by this Iraq oil sharing arrangement? I want to do some additional research on this. Dr. Schwartz indicates that this new law and the progress toward it is basically going to be a boondoggle for Western oil consortiums. We'll see if it plays out that way, but the UK Guardian makes reference to this new law without going into the details at this point, because I guess the law has not yet been completely consummated and enacted. But in addition to the fact that this new law is coming into play, the Petraeus team sees some other things on the horizon that underscore what Michael Schwartz was speaking of yesterday, that suggests that our current policy is absolutely impossible and unsustainable. It has something to do with the al-Maliki government. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Mark Dancos America on RBN coming to you from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. This is Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that will now be bringing Mark Dancos America to a much wider audience and the RBN Network generally to a much wider audience in the American South. We greet those fine folks. At the same time that we have been discussing a series of news articles today related to the whole business of Iraq and the Middle East and Iran and the unsustainability that many people feel is involved in the president's policy situation as it currently presents itself with Iraq. And Simon Tisdall's piece today at the UK Guardian, quoting these experts, American military experts in counterinsurgency warfare, who are mentioned by name in the article. And these experts constitute the so-called Baghdad Brain Group that is advising General Petraeus as to what to do, are scratching their heads because of a series of frustrations that they have that seem to suggest in their minds, quoting what is in the UK Guardian today, that we have 6 months, folks, that's not a very long period of time, 6 months to either have a much better improvement in the military and security and political situation in that country, or there is going to be a Vietnam-style collapse. I will say something now from this Petraeus article that I think is particularly significant in relation to what Dr. Michael Schwartz was talking about yesterday, and then I'll take a caller from Illinois. If you go back to this story again that we were looking at from The Guardian today, Simon Tisdall's piece, it again is entitled U.S. Commanders Admit We Face a Vietnam-Style Collapse. There is a sentence in this article that absolutely underscores what Dr. Schwartz was speaking of yesterday. Getting into this UK piece in The Guardian, despite progress this week on a new law sharing Iraq's oil wealth, and Dr. Schwartz made reference to this law, he believes it will be a boondoggle for Western oil companies. We'll have to get more information on that in the days ahead. But despite this so-called progress, the Petraeus team believes the government is failing to work hard enough to meet other national reconciliation benchmarks set by Mr. Bush. And here's the key sentence, folks. Yet it is accepted that the U.S. is asking the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, to do what most politicians in normal circumstances would refuse to contemplate. Quote, what we're doing is asking Maliki to confront his own power base, unquote, one officer said. That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? What we are doing is asking Maliki, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, to confront his own power base. Folks, this is a situation that to me is a setup for complete madness and complete failure. We're not only dealing with a Sunni-Shiite conflict, we're dealing with a conflict and controversy among Shiites that essentially has the United States pressuring Nouri al-Maliki, who is our alleged guy there as the prime minister of that country, to do something that would confront and potentially undercut his own power base among the Shiites. Are you confused? I'm certainly confused, but you and I, being confused and listening to this show throughout the continental United States and hopefully in other places in the world outside of Iraq, are not necessarily having our lives threatened in the midst of this confusion. Can you imagine being an American military officer or enlisted person in the middle of this? And I think of these guys trying to advise General Petraeus as to what to do. I have genuine empathy for these very fine officers because they obviously know more about this than I do, and presumably more than most of our listeners do. But they're clearly grasping at straws. And if they don't know what to do, and if they see all of these internal contradictions in what the president's policy has produced, how can we be expected to sustain this militarily? How can we be expected to sustain this in terms of domestic political will and morale? Again, we've gone full circle to the whole Vietnam debate and the tragedy in Southeast Asia in the 1960s and early 1970s. Guess what, folks? It has revisited us again. Only the stakes are even higher now as we move toward a conflict that, if it is not curbed, if there is not a political settlement in Iraq and in Palestine and in Iran, threatens to produce the full-blown war of civilizations between the Islamic world and the West that these Jewish-oriented neoconservatives have been arguing for and pushing for overtly and covertly for a very long period of time. Larry in Illinois, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Larry. How you doing?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to ask a couple of things.
Sure.
Are you aware that the stock market has fallen like 220 points in the first hour of trading?
Today?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. No, I wasn't, but I've been following it in the last 2 days, both in the San Antonio papers and in the front page of the Wall Street Journal, I guess, where it went way down, and then supposedly there was a correction. And now you're telling me in the first 2 hours of trading today that we're back in the dumper again.
Right. That was on the Internet.
Thank you for encouraging me, Larry. But hey, stay on the line. I've got to take a break, but seriously,
okay.
Stay on the line. I want to talk to you about this and what the implications might be. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Larry of Illinois, the stock market, when we come back. Stay tuned.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to have some interesting guests on this show tomorrow. Jeannie Chansey is going to be on from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. talking about ladies against feminism. That will be, I trust, a very interesting, controversial, hopefully responsibly done broadcast by me. And then at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to have a very fascinating woman on this show. I can just guarantee it, even though I've not talked to her yet. Why? Because her situation and her husband's is so inherently fascinating that I'm sure that the show will simply carry itself. Going back 2 years ago, a jury found a former University of South Florida computer science professor, Sami Al-Aryan, not guilty on 8 of 17 charges relating to his alleged support for Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The jury deadlocked on the remainder of the charges. I understand that Dr. Al-Aryan is still in detention, and his wife, Nayla Al-Aryan, is going to be my guest tomorrow to talk about all of this. This Al-Aryan case was a test case for the use of the Patriot Act in spying on U.S. citizens and residents. I'm going to suggest that this is not simply a question of dealing with issues relating to Americans of Middle Eastern extraction and their relationship to their government, but the implications of this story pertain to every American and his or her vulnerability potentially to things that arguably are completely outside the constitutional tradition of this country. So that will be tomorrow with Naila Al-Aryan from 8 a.m. to hopefully 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on Mark Dankoff's America. Back to Larry from Illinois, talking, Larry, about this whole business of what is apparently another downturn in the Dow this morning.
Well, yeah, it was now it's 200 points. But the reason I called you about it is that at starting at 10 o'clock Central Time, I turn your station off because you're over, and then I go on to a local station out of Waukegan, and there will be a guy who I know, and he will be praising and lauding the Bush administration. And if you say anything to him about the war or about how I perceive Bush has kind of messed up, he will immediately come back to me as a caller and say, "Well, you know, we're living in the best economy we've ever lived in. Everything is rosy. The stock market is good. Real estate really isn't that bad. And if the stock market really takes a dive, I think it's going to really kind of cut the president off I think it might be one more thing that cuts the president off at the knees."
Yes.
Did I just make sense?
Well, that certainly makes sense to me, and again, I'm not an economist, but, you know, reading Paul Craig Roberts, who is, and who was an assistant secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, and who week after week at lewrockwell.com and at BATR and a series of other sites on the World Wide Web, PaleoCon and Libertarian sites, just excoriates Bush foreign policy. He excoriates Bush on the economy, excoriates him in regard to the Constitution. Roberts has made a point repeatedly as an economics professional that really resonates with me, and that is the idea that when you look at the massive amount of American debt, and specifically the amount of money we are borrowing to finance this disastrous situation in Iraq, when I look at those numbers and compare them with what the Wall Street Journal admits are the Bush figures for 2007 and 2008 for this conflict, even aside from whether or not we go to war with Iran. When you examine Roberts and when you examine the Wall Street Journal, it becomes abundantly clear that there are some Asian banks, principally Chinese and Japanese banks, that have to be watching these developments with great alarm. And at some point, if they decide that the American political and economic situation is simply out of hand in regard to both the Middle East as well as domestic economic policy, if they jettison those American debt instruments on the open market, which is what a lot of economists worldwide have been anticipating that they will at some point, then the ball game is over. I think the dollar will be in free fall. I think these so-called market adjustments we've seen in the last couple of days in the Dow will become absolutely catastrophic. And it's at that point, Larry, that I think you'll be proven to be a prophet, that the president's political problems, where the water level is either at his chin or just beneath his nostrils, might go completely over his head.
Mm-hmm. That's why I called in, because when I took a look at my – I listened to you on the computer, so when I looked at my the stock market stuff, I go, whoa.
What this guy in Waukegan, this radio guy in Waukegan, Illinois there, which I remember from my days in seminary up there in Deerfield, does he pretty much takes the position, as near as I can tell, that across the board that the Bush administration is still, in his judgment, a success in what it's doing?
Well, yes. And here's the Waukegan station is very interesting, because there was a politician who's a friend of mine who used to have that spot, and it's a very, very Republican. I used to be real Republican until about the war, until the war started, actually. And the whole tenor of the station is pretty Republican until there's a guy who has I emailed you about this show that comes on at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
That goes on from 6 to 8. And he's a a very fair-minded guy. But the other ones are very, very pro-Republican, which is fine. You know, I mean, I would be, I feel betrayed personally by the Republican Party. Because,
yes.
And I think for the similar reasons, the abortion and the euthanasia issue, I think, is a mark in the sand. I think we're worse off under Bush, and I don't think Reagan did anything about it. And then Bush Kane is involved in this current war, and being a front man for the neocons has just totally eroded my faith in the Republican Party anyway.
Well, that's my reading, too. And, you know, excuse me, Larry, I go all the way back to when I was living up in your neck of the woods and in Deerfield, and was at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago. My first year there was in the fall of 1980 when Ronald Reagan was first elected. And like many young conservatives at that time, and I will say young, naive conservatives, I believed that America was on the verge of a political, economic, and moral renaissance with the election of Ronald Reagan defeating Jimmy Carter and with the arrival of a Republican U.S. Senate. I look back at that now, and that's naive to the point of being laughable, but that's exactly what I thought 27 years ago this fall when that election was held. And I remember at that time that pro-life activism at Trinity was a very big thing. Dr. Harold O.J. Brown, a wonderful man, still living, the author of Heresies, among many other wonderful books, Ph.D. from Harvard, internationally recognized activist in the pro-life movement, had been working very, very closely with a number of people to get Ronald Reagan elected. And, of course, right after Reagan was elected, and I was one of Dr. Brown's academic advisees, so the first time we met as an advisee group after the election, there was just a sense of euphoria that we had finally made some significant progress against the American left in regard to a whole host of issues. And it wasn't too long after that, you may recall, that Ronald Reagan named Sandra Day O'Connor to the Supreme Court, who is, of course, a pro-choice justice. And I remember how furious, understandably furious, Harold O.J. Brown was at that time, and the sense of betrayal that he felt personally, and, you know, so many pro-life activists, you know, Roman Catholic traditionalists, Protestant evangelicals that had put their lives into that cause. Whatever you think of that cause, they had sincerely put their lives and their talents and treasures into it. There was a sense that, boy, you know, Reagan put one over on us. And yet, from that time on forward, both with the Reagan administration on a whole host of issues, not simply the abortion thing and the euthanasia problem, but with a whole host of other issues, both Reagan and the first Bush and now Bush II have continued amazingly enough to garner the support of a certain percentage of people in this country who call themselves conservatives, even though the actual record shows what a complete fraud, in my view, the whole enterprise has been.
Oh, that's absolutely that absolutely resonates with a New Age word there with the way I feel. I mean, I remember it's funny how the people who predict bad stuff often are so often right. Correct, rather. I remember.
Yeah.
Around that same period of time, going to a pro-life meeting at Queen of All Saints Parish in Chicago. I don't know if you know where that is, but it's in Saugeen.
Okay.
And it's a very wealthy parish. And I remember this man saying that if we weren't able to stop the abortion groups, the next thing that would be body parts, and people would be selling fetuses. And I remember sitting in the church hall with my wife and thinking to myself, well, they'll never do anything like that. That is so far beyond the pale. And now, as a 59-year-old adult, we're looking at people from the state, in Illinois at least, from the state and federal governments, where they're trying to get people to donate their organs, where they're trying to get take the organs out of fetuses, use fetal parts. And
yes.
Those people were actually right, and they had the foreknowledge to see something that was so gruesome and so terrible at the time. that you couldn't, I couldn't even believe it. I just didn't feel it was a, I thought it was against the church teaching. I thought it was against the body of Christ, and I didn't want it. And I still feel that way.
Are you a Roman Catholic? I assume you are.
I am a Roman Catholic, and I left the church because I wanted to be a little bit more active, so I became a Salvation Army soldier.
Oh, that's right. You told me that the other
yeah.
day. I'm sorry.
And
the reason I asked that question is simply to say that...
but I'm still active in the church. Yes.
Yes. Dr. E. Michael Jones, a Roman Catholic, a PhD from Temple University in Philadelphia, has a publication you can find online at culturewars.com.
Yeah, I heard you talk. I heard you yeah. talking about that, and I read it. I bookmarked
it. Excellent. Excellent. That's good news. I wanted to also recommend Dr. Robert Sungenis of Catholic Apologetics International, who's online, because I find as one who is an evangelical Orthodox Lutheran, some people would say that I'm the bridge between evangelical Protestantism and Roman Catholicism, not me personally, but I mean the Lutheran tradition and all of that's arguable. But the thing that I profit by in reading Dr. Sungenis and reading Dr. Jones is that they bring to the fore all of the inside information on how badly we have really lost these culture wars and just all of the forces that you people like you and I, good people, did not necessarily see at that time. Nobody told us about it, that we're at work in these situations, basically providing some degree of cover for an agenda that has become, of course, painfully obvious to folks like you and me in recent years. So that's one observation I have, the extent to which, as a pro-life, moral, traditional, conservative Republican, speaking of myself, and I think that applies to you as well, Larry, we were fighting the right battles with the right heart before God and men, and yet in many respects have come up short, I think simply because in many instances we didn't understand the nature, the real nature of the game and the way in which the cards were stacked against us. The other thing that comes to my mind as I watch this whole thing with the Republican Party is that you have this tension, it seems to me, between the Christian, the so-called Christian right in the Republican Party. How Christian it actually is a matter of debate. But loosely speaking, the Christian right, for purposes of oversimplification on this show, in conversation. And then on the other hand, the tremendous corporate powers, the international, multinational corporate conglomerates that quite clearly are a powerful political and financial player in the Republican Party, and particularly in the Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party, which I have insisted is the lineage of the Bush political dynasty. And when I talk to some of my friends who are sincere Christians in the Republican Party, who have tried to fight the good fight on the pro-life side of the equation, either with the abortion issue or the euthanasia problem or both, I began insisting to them as of, say, 1996 onward, that there was an internal contradiction in the Republican Party between some of the platform statements that tend to support moral traditionalism on these subjects and the corporate agenda of many of the real political power players in the GOP, who in effect know that they need these Christian right votes in every presidential cycle year, but nonetheless have deep-seated, far more significant political and economic alliances with corporate powers that be, that have no use for Christianity, no use for moral or Christian moral principles related to life or anything else, and who largely see the Christian right as something to be manipulated for votes and then to be systematically ignored thereafter. And that I think, is the nature of the problem. There is a contradictory political constituency within the GOP. The pro-life activists, the sincere ones, and the sincere Christian activists on the one hand, and the corporate forces on the other, who simply have the Christian folks outgunned in terms of political savvy and the amount of corporate money that enables them to simply dwarf anything that the good activists try to do in the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think we were snookered or cheated.
No question. I
think when you talk to people who are actually in the system, people who are the decision makers, I think they've all but given up. I think they know or have made a choice between their values and their careers, and they still will rely on the people who have, well, views like I used to have and views like you used to have for votes.
Yes.
But I don't think they have any real sincere intention of trying to change anything because they don't want...
Go ahead.
They don't want to be labeled as anti-Semitic. They don't want to be labeled as anti-feminist. They don't want to, you know what I mean? The cards are stacked against them.
I know a guy right now whose name I cannot use on the air.
I know a couple of guys who say like it.
Yes. He's a confidential friend and source in Washington, D.C. He is a highly placed, and I mean highly placed, official within a significant agency of the federal government. This guy is where you and I are or once were in terms of his own value system, and yet I think at another level he has sold out beyond belief and compromised with all of this because it's been the only way that he could survive in terms of an inside the Beltway career. We'll be back. If you got time, Larry, stay on the line. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you on RBN from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined tomorrow in the first hour of the show, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., by Ginny Chansey of Ladies Against Feminism. And from 8 a.m. to, I hope, the end of the show, I'll be able to confirm that tomorrow, but at least at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Naila Al-Aryan, the wife of Palestinian activist Sami Al-Aryan, will be on this show. She's going to be talking about her husband's conviction in December of 2005 that exactly ended up as a non-conviction, actually. He was found not guilty on 8 of 17 charges relating to his alleged support for Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The jury deadlocked on the remainder of the charges. This case was seen as a test case for the use of the USA Patriot Act in spying on U.S. citizens and residents. And Dr. Al-Aryan's situation remains very nebulous and ambiguous in regard to the fact that he's not been convicted of anything. And yet, as I understand it, he is still in detention. This is going to be an important show tomorrow on Mark Dankos America, both with Jeannie Chansey of Ladies Against Feminism from 7 to 8 a.m., and then from 8 a.m. onward, Naila Al-Aryan is going to talk about this situation that has beset her and beset her husband since December of 2005. Every American who is listening to this show ought to tell his or her friends to listen to this show tomorrow from 8 a.m. onward, because this could well be you or me or somebody else in regard to a different context where something like the USA Patriot Act could be used in an act of political persecution against someone who is not a criminal and has not broken any American laws. So stay tuned for that effort tomorrow at 8 a.m. on this show with Naila Al-Aryan. Larry, you still there?
Yeah, I am. You know, just briefly, what I would really enjoy listening to some morning is, because you're a theologically trained person and you're smart, and we have this deal with the bones of Jesus being so discovered,
yes,
right around, you know, coincidentally during Lent, and
yes,
okay, and people actually fall for this stuff, and I would like to hear your opinion and hear you talk about the improbability of the bones of Jesus, because we all know Jesus rose from the dead, and furthermore, with how the people are being fooled in little ways, and if we get into a draft situation or something, a war, am I making sense?
You're making absolute sense, not simply on the theological issues here related to these so-called discoveries of the bones of Jesus Christ and so forth, but
it's an insult.
And dealing not only with something like that, but say with this double talk that we continue to see in the mainstream American press and out of Capitol Hill in regard to something like the reinstitution of the American draft. It seems that, you know, that people have been conditioned dangerously so to passively accept information that is presented to them by corporate media coming from allegedly great sources that corporate media has quoted, where no matter how outlandish or absurd or self-contradictory this so-called evidence might be, folks are in a position where they tend to buy it because they've been conditioned to buy it. Larry, give me a buzz tomorrow if you happen to be listening to the show. You're a fun guy to talk to. I really like staying in touch with suburban Chicago. This is Mark Dankos America signing off from RBN in San Antonio. We'll be back tomorrow with Jeannie Chansey of Ladies Against Feminism and Naila Al-Aryan talking about her husband's situation and the implications of that for every American from 8 a.m. onward tomorrow, Central Time. God bless. See you tomorrow.